to be in a fabulous cafe on a really busy high street in Bristol today. I'm at the Edgy Eats cake shop and cafe with the fabulous owner here for Navuna Sustainable Business podcast. I'll let you introduce yourself, Hannah.
Hello, hi, I'm Hannah, or Edgy, as I'm more well-known among my peers and friends. And yeah, I am the owner of the little cake shop and cafe here in Westbury Park.
It's just a hive of busyness around here. And as I was walking into the shop, actually, I noticed, you know, it really is, you are nestled in between the epitome of what is the old high street that we used to know and love. And it's just fantastic to see so busy. There's butchers, there's a charity shop, there's a beautiful little French shop down the road. Have you found the community around here to be really supportive for your new little venture?
Oh yeah, 100%. When I first moved in here, I had to work a lot by myself. So my mum, obviously when we were looking for a property, she was very particular about where she wanted it to go, as well as myself, just because, you know, Bristol is a big city. But honestly, everyone on the street is so lovely. Like, the support from each other is incredible. Like, everyone just looks out for each other. Everyone's here to help each other. We all want each other to thrive and succeed. I don't feel like there's any sort of, you know, catty competition. No. Like, even the other cafe owners, lovely, like, pop in to check on each other, check if we need anything. Yeah, it's just like
real thriving small
business
community.
Yeah, it's a real community. Like, I never felt a sense of that where I was previously. So to have that here is just, it's mad. It's so good.
And your story is so inspiring, Hannah. Tell us a little bit about your business and how you got to this point.
So I launched the business officially just over 2 years ago during my final year of university. So I went to the University of Bath. I studied biomedical sciences and trained as a half paramedic, so it's called an emergency ambulance crew member, between my second and third year of uni. So it was all during the pandemic, so most of my uni was online.
Yeah, that's challenging.
challenging time. Definitely, like, you know, sort of changed the direction of a lot of people's lives. But I really did enjoy the degree, and I was like, really enjoyed volunteering on an ambulance. I thought, let's be a paramedic. But then in my final year of uni, I just started baking cakes. And I had an Instagram page, like a food blogger page. I had that for a few years, called Edgy Eats. And I just thought, oh, you know, let's just see what I could do with this, have a year off. So I delayed my master's, which was going to be in paramedic science. And I just started baking cakes. Then I started supplying one cafe. I converted my parents' garage into a bakery and got that registered. And yeah, it honestly just
followed your passion, which is so inspiring, isn't it?
Just kind of went with it. And then we now have gone from my parents' garage, then we moved into our first commercial kitchen, still just me. I did a year in a commercial kitchen, started supplying one university, plus a few cafes, plus some pop-up stalls, lots of market stalls, farmers markets, just anything to get the cakes out there. And then I decided, right, I want to give this a go. Let's look for some actual full-on premises. And then that's when I looked more Bristol way, just because there was a lot more support this side, and just property-wise, a lot more affordable. And after a few tries at other properties, this place came up. Bristol Council gave us 2 grants to convert it into a cake shop and cafe. Moved in here in September, brought on my first member of staff, and then we just opened our cafe a month ago yesterday. And the team's gone from 2 of us, there's now 10 of us in total.
Wow, a real thriving business. I mean, it's such an inspiring story, because you've gone from literally your garage, followed your passion, and now you've grown, you are actually an official small business owner.
It's crazy to say that, because I'm 23 and 24 in October, so it's kind of mad that I'm in charge of like 10 people, which is weird. I don't see it as in charge. We're just one big team, like, we're all working together. Like, I'm still learning how to do this. I've never owned a business or managed a team. So everyone's been amazing. Very lucky with the team as well. So
as you said, you've never owned a business. It's all very new to you as well. So the other side of running a business, as you said, is not just the staff, it's making sure you've got the suppliers, it's making sure everything else. And obviously, one of the things that we're talking about on the sustainability podcast is obviously the kind of the additional kind of requirements that needed to help small businesses or for small businesses to get to their net zero target. So to what extent has that been a part of you growing your business, or in the back of your mind? I mean, how green can you be as a new business startup, I suppose? And really, when it comes to sustainability and the whole broad issues that come under that, do you see that as kind of investment in the long-term kind of success of your business? Or at the moment, is it just a cost, almost like a burden, really?
Yeah, so like, I think in the forefront of my mind, I am trying to put sustainability, you know, high up in my morals, I guess. So my partner is an environmental engineer.
Right.
So he works in the Ministry of Defence, so he's really environmentally savvy, and my old housemate was an environmental consultant. So I'm very lucky that I was surrounded by people who kind of could give me a nudge of, like, what I should be... I mean, I don't know what I should be doing. I don't know... You know, you hear all these, like, B Corp and corporations all reach these targets, but they're for, like, 250-plus employees and...
Yes.
Things that I... They don't apply to me at all. So the little things I try and do is, you know, support local where I can. So
exactly.
All our bread's local, cheese is local, fruit and veg is local, eggs are local, milk's local, tea's local, coffee's local. Like, everything I can do. Obviously, you can't do it, like, you know, I can't, unfortunately, get Biscoff local or Oreos, because Oreos, like, a nation, you know, but those are the products people want to see. So as much as I can, I try and get local. But an example with a flour, I'd love to get my flour local, but the minimum they deliver is 20 bags. Mm. I don't have storage for 20 bags here. I'm not some big factory. I'm tiny. And I would love to have supported them, but I don't have any storage, and I don't particularly want to store flour in my garage at home. So, I have to shop bigger for the stuff
The practicalities
like that.
Of actually running the
business. Yeah, the practicalities are difficult. But we try and do stuff like we offer 25p off if you bring your own cup. All our packaging is recyclable. Yeah, so we try and do as much as we can.
You are actually doing a lot, you know. Yeah. When you put it all together as a package, you are doing a lot, probably a lot more than other businesses are. And the fact that you are local, and the fact that, you know, a lot of people can walk here, can't they, from the business. You're giving back to the community. Plus, you're avoiding the need to jump in the car, so your carbon emission is lower anyway.
Yeah, so we try and...
just by, you know, the very nature of being in the heart of the community, you are, you know, being sustainable.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we're right by the Downs in Bristol, so obviously a lot of walkers come to us. There's not really any parking right outside, so, like, cars are reduced. Like, public transport around here is really good, so... when my friends want to come see it, I just say hop on the bus, because the bus comes right outside the property here. So, yeah, we do what we can, but again, yeah, just as a cake shop and cafe, there's not a lot we can necessarily... Well, I don't know. I don't think there's a lot you can do. There's a lot of things that you are limited by.
Mm. And do you find that the reason, maybe because you think you could be doing more, there's no guidance to provide you on those little steps to take you towards kind of the net zero targets?
Yeah, I wouldn't even know where to start with net zero. Like, a lot of them you have to have been trading for, like, you need like 2 years to be able to see what kind of electricity you're putting out and stuff. But I only moved here like 6 months ago.
Mm.
So there's quite a few like grants to help you become greener, but you need to have been running for like 3 years.
Established.
Which doesn't really make sense, because you want to try and be green from the get-go, not
Absolutely.
3 years after. Because they're like, okay, you need to send in your energy reports for the last 3 years, and this, you know, your waste expenditure and all of this. And I was like, well, what's the point? Because then I'm just doing 3 years of, say, being bad for the environment before I can be better for the environment. So it's kind of backwards. It's counterproductive when you're trying to offer... Because, you can get, you know, machinery that's more eco-friendly, but again, it costs double the amount. Or coffee machines, you can get special ones that are... use a lot less electricity, but again, double the price of a normal one. And as a small business where I haven't taken any business loans at all, I'm doing this all off my own back, plus 2 grants, but that did the building work, so the rest was all me. It does feel very counterproductive.
As if you're by yourself. And when you speak to your local small, you know, the kind of meat, I'm sorry, the butcher next door, or say the florist, is that the type of issues you kind of talk about, or is it more about, you know, kind of the traffic or the increasing cost of electricity? Does kind of green and the struggle that you have, or that come up as an issue, I suppose, when you discuss things?
Yeah, I say we probably don't. I think it's mainly we talk, obviously I'm still quite new to the area.
Yes.
I think a lot of what we talk about is, you know, why is it so quiet around here, or why is it so busy today, or, you know, yeah, just general more chit-chat. I think it's not really a thing that we talk about yet, but maybe I could bring it up in conversation, just see what they do.
Yeah, so top tips from other people and what they've done, and it may well be that they've got the same struggles that you feel as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Really, but that's really interesting. So I'm just really fascinated in the kind of what your customers are saying. Do you get the impression from them that they're pushing you to become more sustainable? Is it very much higher on their agenda, or...?
I'd say that they like the fact... we tend to tell our customers a lot about what we're doing, and we have a board out there of how we are being sustainable. So I wrote on a whiteboard just in a hallway. So we have an art gallery in our hallway as well, which isn't really linked to sustainability, but it's linked to the community. So we have like a community art board, which again kind of incorporates in sustainability, and it's just boosting the economy, and it's local artists that don't have the chance to display in other places because we don't offer, it's like free commission, so we don't take any of their profits, it's all just for them. But next to it we have a board that has like all our sustainability, so we try and point people that way. But everyone always asks, oh, where's your coffee from? And we always say, yeah, it's a local, it's roasted 1.3 miles away. You know, the tea's from Bath. So yeah, we really try and push to people, and like our oat milk's a really like niche oat milk, it's not ones that you can find in the supermarkets, it's from a local farm in the Cotswolds, all farm fresh, amazing oat milk, and we get a lot of compliments for that. So I think people don't necessarily come and be like, oh, what are you doing to be sustainable? But when we sort of, you know, put them on a train, then they start asking, and then I think once people realise what we're doing, that will encourage people to come back. Absolutely. As well, because I think, you know, in this day and age, a lot of people are trying to be more sustainable and trying to have a lower impact on the environment, and I think just little smaller choices like picking the coffee shop that does use recyclable packaging, or that does support local businesses, or that does offer 25p off if you bring your own cup, like that would definitely encourage me. If I was getting a coffee every day, as a lot of people do on their morning commute, if I knew I was going to get 25p off if I bought my own cup, then I would actively, you know, bring it.
Little things that make a difference,
just little things,
buy loyalty as well, which as a small business, as you said, you know, buying that loyalty and getting the footfall in, you know, helps in the round.
Yeah,
it?
Definitely. And people around here, like when you say that you support local businesses, which I want to do because people supported me when I started out, that I still want to keep it local as I can, that a lot of people are more like the products more, and definitely want to buy the products more if they know that it's supporting other local businesses, because then you're sort of hitting multiple birds with one stone, because you're supporting one, but by supporting us you're then supporting, you know, 10, 15 other small businesses, because we'll be buying from them because you're buying from us. So
fantastic.
It's like a great sort of little chain reaction that works for everyone. And then the more we buy from that company, they'll promote us, and then we'll promote them. And it's just like a great, you know, trajectory for like all the small businesses.
A real success story, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So obviously you've been on a huge kind of growth curve over the last 2 years, and amazing that you're supplying to so many universities. So what's next for NG Eats?
What's next? So I'm just waiting to hear if I get one big contract that I've been having my eye on for a while, and I hopefully should get that, but we'll see. But yeah, the next sort of step premises wise, obviously still want to grow the wholesale, constantly growing the wholesale. The baking team's growing. Yeah, we've got 6 bakers now, I think. So we bake Monday to Friday through here. We've got delivery driver, another one's coming on board soon. So yeah, we've got a great wholesale team. So definitely just keep growing the wholesale. Maybe eventually move out of our little kitchen in here into maybe an industrial unit. But the goal I want is 3 cafes across Bristol.
Wow.
So I want, 2 more. I want one more city centre that's open later. And then I want one that's more like child friendly and like a directed at everyone as well, but has like maybe a separate area. It's got like a little play area or something, like an Edgy Eats play cafe.
Wow.
So yeah, I want 3 cafes in Bristol, and then see how that goes. Ideally by the time I'm 30, my goal is 3 cafes by 30. So I'm 23 now and I've got 1. So hopefully in 7 years, in 2 years I've got 1. So hopefully in 7 years I can get 2 more.
Oh gosh, I think
And then yeah, either just keep Edgy Eats. Ideally I want to keep Edgy Eats like just as a smaller one, and then maybe, you know, knowing me, I'll probably just start another business or do something else. Eventually I do want to go back to my volunteering with St John Ambulance, so I suspended that at the moment just because, yeah, I...
Time is...
Yeah,
you're busy.
At the moment I'm working every day, and it wouldn't be safe for me to go out on an ambulance when I'm, you know, working 100-hour weeks, but...
Doesn't matter how many brownies you eat.
Yeah, so, yeah, the goal is to, you know, get the business going and then go back to volunteering, or finish my qualification as paramedic and do that part-time.
Amazing.
That would be the goal.
So have you got a website, Hannah, that people can go to?
Yes.
Obviously, kind of, you know, either kind of on the...
Instagram, yes. So we've got a website, which is edgyeats.com. We also do, as well as the wholesale and the cafe, we do custom cakes as well. So we do birthdays, weddings, all of that, postal stuff as well, so you can get things shipped to your door.
That's all via the website.
All via the website. Also on our Instagram, it's edgy_eats. We have all the updates on there, all about the cafe, all about the wholesale. Yeah, the Instagram's the main thing. We're also launching a TikTok soon, so we're going to be doing some days in the life of me. which will be fun because, yeah, my life is pretty weird, pretty crazy. It's not like a normal 23-year-old. Most of my friends are travelling or still at uni, and I'm just here running a cake shop and cafe, which is just bonkers, but the dream.
So and you're having fun doing it.
Yeah.
So it's your passion, and you're following your passion, definitely. Which is fantastic.
Sometimes it's hard when you're so busy and so tired to sort of sit down and think what you've done, but clearly. Actually... It's pretty cool.
It's amazing. Well, thanks so much for your time,
Hannah.
I'm looking forward to buying some of those beautiful brownies and muffins I saw on the way in. Bette, it was a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you as well.
And good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.